are listening to Opportunity Detroit. Now, earlier this month, the Belle Isle Conservancy had a couple of public unveilings, a sneak preview, if you will, of the Belle Isle Commons. Megan Elliott, President and CEO of the Belle Isle Conservancy, thank you for joining us today on Opportunity Detroit to talk about this transformational project.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what is it? What are you doing there?
Yeah, so the Belle Isle Commons is kind of a name for something that we created that actually the idea itself came directly from Detroiters. So a couple years ago, there was something called the Multimodal Mobility Study. And folks said, while they love doing the cruise around the island's perimeter in their cars, they don't like relying on cars in the center of the island and feeling like you have to drive between every single thing that you're doing.
Oh, interesting.
So, yes, we took that notion and we said, okay, what does that mean in design terms? We worked with a firm called Gale Studio, and we basically put those designs to paper. And the core of the concept is basically creating a public square in the center of the island. Now, some folks have been hearing that, and then they say, well, public square, does that mean more concrete? No, it does not. Basically, what we're talking about is taking over an existing parking lot that is right in the heart of the island, that's right in front of the aquarium and conservatory,
okay,
turning that into kind of the heart of the commons concept. And then we would still provide even better and more accessible parking in all the areas that need to be around there, and then a full parking lot replacement just a couple-minute walk away. So basically, the idea is, you know, how do we build off of the strength of the number one destination on the island that already exists here and turn it into something vibrant that feels like, you know, kind of the epicenter of all these amazing spaces that surround it so that you feel connected to all of them, have reliable food and beverage, you know that you have your restroom stop, all the things that people need to enjoy a full day at the park. And they can also go explore all these other amazing amenities and assets that we already have on the island.
So it sounds like accessibility is a big issue here. You're making it more accessible, for starters.
Absolutely. So one of the things I noticed when I started working on the island every day about a year ago was that if you're someone that enjoys, for example, flowers, if you walk between the conservatory, the formal gardens, and then to the Udolph Garden, you get hit with a number of curb cuts. So say if I was limited in my mobility, if I was in a wheelchair, for example, I wouldn't be able to make that whole trip, or if I had a stroller with me. And I want it to actually be just very seamless so that all these places, not only that you can walk between them or access by any means that you need, but also that you're encouraged to, that there's a lot of opportunities. You see other people along a path making that same journey and you recognize, oh, the Udolph Garden is actually only a few more steps this direction, or the Dawson is really just right across this bridge over here. It's all really close together.
Oh, it's a great idea. So you've had two big events. You had a VIP fundraiser on the 15th of September. Then you had another event open to the public on the 16th. What kind of reaction have you gotten to the idea?
It's been pretty phenomenal. Okay. So those were the first two nights that we unveiled the designs, and they were done in a bit of a cartoonish style. And the reason for that was very intentional. We wanted folks to feel like this design is not set in stone. We had to put something on paper to respond to the idea that people wanted to get out of their cars. But the next thing we want is more engagement and feedback from you all. So the whole idea of the night was kind of a temporary version of the commons. So we painted the parking lot of the conservatory and aquarium. We put up a big tent with string lights, and we had, you know, food and music and beverages. And then there was a whole engagement section where you could actually walk along the journey of what these future portions of the commons might look like and give your feedback and thoughts. And I have to say, the response was overwhelmingly positive. People were so excited. And they even asked us, when are you doing the next version of this party? And it was a lot to put on that party. So we didn't have a good answer
for
that
just
yet. Not
sure about that. You know, I love that you're including the community, though, in the planning. That's pretty unique.
Well, the Belle Isle belongs to everyone. So it's the people's park and it's everyone's backyard. And, you know, for me, as someone that works in public spaces, I know that, you know, if you just make up a design in your own head and then just start building it, it's not going to be utilized the way that you want it to be. So if you want it to be a vibrant space that everyone kind of takes ownership over and uses and relies on, then you have to start with that engagement and really inform the process in that way.
What are the next steps?
So the next steps are we're going to be running that engagement process from now through December. So for your listeners, if folks could go on Belle Isle Conservancy's homepage, belleisleconservancy.org, you'll see a link to a survey where you can see the designs right there and give your own thoughts and opinions. We'll also be coming out to community meetings and reaching out to folks that might not have access to the survey online. So we'll be doing that from now through December. And then once we get all that feedback, we analyze it and we say, okay, what do we need to change about our design based on what everyone told us? So we'll be doing that. And then we'll be fundraising to make it happen. And so, you know, I'm just really excited about this next step of hearing from folks what they like, what they dislike, what they would change or put in a different area because of, you know, some reasons that we didn't think about. So it'll be really fun.
Yes, it will be. You know, you're likely to end up with some really creative people weighing in on this who may have some ideas that you hadn't thought of.
That's right. And I think we especially want to pay particular attention to how we can do outreach to arts and culture organizations and members of the Detroit arts and culture scene. Because if we wanted to do, for example, you know, regular DJ option for this common space, a lot of DJs have told me that even just the placement of where you do those things in relation to other things really matters. So getting that kind of weigh in will be a really special experience, thinking about how we can think about public art and lifting up what's already so cool and amazing about Detroit's art scene in this, you know, beloved space. So I think there's going to be lots of opportunity there.
So to this point, you know, the DIA, as you well know, does that really cool art program where they take the art out into the community. So that even could be something that, you know, a partnership with the DIA to do something like that.
Yes, we love the Inside Out program. I know we have at least one piece on the island right now, but we regularly like to partner with them, and I think there's lots more opportunity to partner together.
Now, you mentioned fundraising. What kind of money will be needed to do this kind of a project?
So I don't have cost estimates yet. And again, part of the reason for that is that we don't have a final design. So until we hear from folks and analyze all that feedback after December, we won't go through the process of doing those cost estimates because those cost money too. And I thought, I don't want to spend money on something that may or may not happen. If folks say, well, this part of the idea really won't work, then we are back to the drawing board. But that'll be the process at the top of next year to really take a look at that and try and understand what are the key things and what's the order in which they need to happen to make this all work. And then we'll be talking with individual donors, with philanthropic partners that we've worked with and everyone in between to really talk about this vision and what a difference it could make for Detroiters.
So tell us, how are things on Belle Isle? How were they during the summer? What can we look forward to in the fall and even in the winter?
So the summer's been wonderful. We had a great season, a great weather. The beach was always hopping, as it is. We've had a lot of construction projects kick off. So we have a $10 million renovation at the aquarium and conservatory, just to give that building HVAC, which it's never had in its 121-year history.
Oh, wow.
So that'll be much more comfortable for visitors from the public and for the fish and the flowers. And then we're also renovating the Scott Fountain. So that's an exciting project that's underway. So there's always so much happening on the island, and it just keeps getting better and better.
Remind people a little bit about Belle Isle. Talk about what exactly is Belle Isle? Where is it? How big is it? What can people do there?
Yeah, so Belle Isle is 982 acres in size. And for folks that aren't used to thinking about acres, It's actually bigger than Central Park. And it's an island in the middle of the Detroit River. So we've got Canada on one side and Detroit on the other. We're off to the east side of the city. And I think for most people, the best thing about Belle Isle is you drive across that bridge and it's like a portal. You get transported, you take a deep breath, and whether you came there, you know, on a happy day just to be with your friends and just celebrate, or whether you came there on a sad day to get a bit of reprieve and just look out over the water, Belle Isle is here for you for that. So I think I said earlier that this is Detroit's backyard, and that's really true. Everyone relies on this space so much, and not a single day goes by where I don't think we're really grateful to have this island park. You know, it could have been turned into something else a very long time ago, and that decision was made in the late 1800s to preserve it as a park, and it's just, we're all just so fortunate to have it here.
Well, and I think it's fair to say that it's truly a Detroit gem. Every time I go to Belle Isle for an event or just to go to hang out, I think to myself, it looks better every time. So it's obvious that you and your team have been doing an awful lot of work to make it as nice as you possibly can. Very impressive, Megan.
Thank you. And, you know, we couldn't do it without our team of the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. They do so much to take care of the island as well. And if there's anything that people aren't having a good experience about, we're always here to listen to those things as well. So we're, our door is always open, and we want to hear from folks, things that they want to see on the island, things that they're trying to get done, or even just organizations that are looking for space to do programming that they do off of the island, on the other, you know, around the city. So we like to think of ourselves as the front door of the island in that way.
Megan Elliott, President and CEO of the Belle Isle Conservancy, thank you for the interview today. Thank you for talking to us about this great project. And above all else, it's really cool that you're asking our listeners to get involved. So you want them to go to, is it BelleIsleConservancy.org?
That's right.
That's awesome. Thanks again for your time today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Coming up on Opportunity Detroit, the Detroit Auto Show has a new theme song. We'll tell you all about it.